Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, welcome to the show. This is John.
Our guest today is Paul Marlowe. Paul, can you give us some background about who you are?
Of course I can. First of all, thank you for having me, John. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
I've been following your stuff on Twitter for a while, and it's good shit. Hopefully I can say shit on here. I apologize if not.
No,
okay, good.
Whatever you want to say, so...
My name is Paul Marlowe. I go by Tall Paul due to me being 6'7". That was a nickname I picked up, and I just kind of ran with it.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially how I came into this mental health realm was 2 years ago and 2 years and 1 month ago, I lost my dad to cancer. Mm-hmm. Which, to be honest with you, was kind of a silver lining, because really the anxiety and depression and mental health struggles came from his battle with Parkinson's disease prior to it.
Okay.
And
I just wanted to give you my condolences about your dad.
So, oh,
yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. No, I appreciate that. These things happen though, and without it, I wouldn't be on this journey. Of course, I'd rather have him back here, but I'm pretty proud and excited and stoked to see where things go. So, hey, you know what? Silver linings.
Yeah.
But so what happened was he started deteriorating. One year to 2 years prior to his death, Parkinson's, and we actually believe it was Lewy body dementia. And essentially that's just where his body doesn't listen to his brain. I believe at the end, he was still there mentally. You could see some interactions with him where he was just like trying to do something, and he had this look in his eyes, but his body wouldn't do it.
Oh, man.
And it was really rough. Mm-hmm. He was very active, fit. And he was like, I don't know, when he was 50, he looked 40. When he was 60, he looked 40 still. And then when he was 70 and he had Parkinson's, he looked like he was 90. Like, just within months, his body just started deteriorating. His mind did. And that is really what affected me the most, watching that happen. I would come home from where I live to my parents' house every week to see them for the weekend. And every weekend I'd come home knowing I'd be seeing a different man that I knew before. And that was really, really tough.
Mm-hmm.
And then he passed away. Which, like I said, was a silver lining, because he wouldn't have wanted to live another 15 years like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of grateful for that.
Yeah.
And then, the depression really hit. I stopped working for a bit. I didn't know what to do with my life. And then I thought one day, I'm like, this has got to change. I need to find a way back to happiness. So I started going on this journey for myself. But at that time, I actually started sharing it on my social media, just because I felt like if I can show everything positive, why can't I show the downtimes?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I started posting it to Instagram and Twitter and just saying, I'm having a crappy day and that's okay. Or if I'm having a good day, this is what I'm doing to help myself. And hopefully it'll keep it going, and kind of giving reason to my actions. Mm-hmm. And then after weeks and months of doing that, I would be like, okay, well, this worked for me. I might help you. And people started messaging me saying, thank you so much. I appreciate what you're doing. Do you have any tips for me? That then turned into me being like, well, maybe I can write some blogs to help people out, which then turned into me getting a website, which then turned into me doing podcasts, talking on stage at events. And mm-hmm. then it came the creation of Never Alone, which is essentially everything I have been doing since my dad's death, but putting it under a brand, a kind of a company, a following, an initiative that people can grasp onto and become part of. And I launched Never Alone, the brand online community, 5 weeks ago, actually. And it is based around the same thing, to help people, inspire them to get better, feel more confident in themselves, and realize that over time they can do things to make them be happier in life, and also to not be afraid to speak up and speak out and share their own stories to help others.
Very cool, Paul. Oh man, that's awesome, man. Well, you said that you just it like it's just been the past 5 weeks ago you started your community. During the whole process, I know you said you also you were dealing with depression and so forth, and you're having a hard time going to work. So are you do you still work now, or are you doing this full time?
Yeah, so actually at that time I was personal training, and I was personal training 5 days a week. I then, after he passed away, I had like kind of anxiety, I had an anxiety attack and a kind of a breakdown, and I realized I can't go into work. I was canceling on them, so I completely didn't work for 5 weeks, and then I came back to only work 3 days a week. But actually, it worked out because I actually got the same amount of clients in on 3 days, so I just worked more efficiently. So,
Oh, very cool. Then
it worked
it
out awesome. But what
worked
I did with that extra time was that's where I started working on blogs, learning how to create online content through videos and website and blogging, and kind of working on my craft
out awesome.
over the last year and a half at that time. Currently, I am training a bit, but not enough really to get my income. Let's be honest, COVID messed things up because I was working for myself by myself. I have been for the last 2 years, and that changed things. So yeah, I'm not really making enough. Everything, the Never Alone. So there's clothing sales going on, and that's the only way I am creating more content and keeping my lights on. But that actually doesn't come back to me. I'm putting that back into the company. So right now I'm living off the government subsidies, CERB, which we have up in Canada, and my loving mother, who has taken me back in for these last 4 months to help me get my business started. Say I cut down to 3 days a week, which worked out very well. And then what I did with my extra time, the other 5 days a week, I started working on my craft and learning how to write blogs, getting better at Instagram, Twitter, making videos, and kind of creating the online platform that I have today. So I am not working 3 days a week anymore training. I'm doing a little bit, and with COVID and everything, I'm doing even less. So to be honest with you, I am living at my mom's house. She let me come back to help start with the clothing, just so I could fully focus on it and get the business up and launched. That was before COVID hit, and then when COVID hit, it really made it imperative that I was home, so it kind of worked out. But now actually I live in Canada, so our Canadian government does have a very easy, yeah, I'm Vancouver, Canada,
Oh,
and they
sweet. I
have
didn't
a
know that.
yeah, they have a it's $2,000 a month our government gives out to anyone who has lost their job or isn't making over $1,000 a month.
Oh,
So
wow.
yeah, and you get it within days and it takes no time. So that is essentially what I'm living off of, because everything else that I am getting from sales is part of my company. I'm not actually getting any of that money. That's just going back into the company.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh,
Yeah,
gotcha.
it's
Okay. Right
yeah,
on.
long-term game on it. We'll see what
Oh,
happens.
very cool. Well, now with now we kind of have an idea of, from where you were up to now. And like you, I used to be a personal trainer for about 8 years. So when you were talking about the 3 days, cutting back to that and being more efficient, I totally get you with that completely. And I that's
doable.
yeah, exactly. Because otherwise it's like you go early in the morning, you have your clients, and then come back later and do it in the evening or whatever. So but
So inefficient.
yeah, I know it is. So but in terms of exercise and mental health, I'm like you. I love exercise. I love how it impacts positively my mental health. And as a personal trainer yourself, could you kind of go over, just talking about exercise and just general
Definitely.
well-being, general mental health?
Definitely. There's a lot of areas for it. I'll start off with essentially feeling down and whatnot. I used, when I was really in a dark place, I was lucky I had already built up a exercise. Like I understand what it does for my body. I'm an ex-athlete, so I've been working out for the past 20 years, so it's not hard for me to get in. However, though, I used that an exercise routine, a morning routine, and an evening routine were my three keys to finding my way out of the depression I was in, where I wasn't working, to getting back to working, to getting back to feeling somewhat joy in my life and moving forward. Those were three major areas that I know I could do daily by myself. I wasn't reliable on anyone, like a therapist. Therapy is great, it needs to be added in. But these are all things that I knew if I focused, I could do. And if they fell off one day, I could get back on it again the next day, no problem.
How did
And
you
it's like,
hold? Oh, sorry.
go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was just going to ask you, like, how did you hold yourself accountable, to, follow? I mean, did you do anything special, I guess, to get into the routine, or you just kind of were like, well, this is what I'm going to do, and I just do it? Because I know some people have a hard time even getting to do those few things, you know?
100%. 100. That is the biggest thing that I've learned from this is I myself, and I think the majority of people, overthink it. They think an exercise routine has to be get a membership, get clothes, go to the gym, lift this amount of weights, go on the treadmill, drink water, eat, and go home. Well, really, for you to start an exercise routine today, if you haven't done one, you can start it by getting a chair, setting up and sitting down from it 20 times, or finding a hill near you and going up and down it 7 times, 10 times, how many times you can. And then tomorrow, trying to beat that by one. That is a form of exercise. That is a way to get started. And that is a way to get started with the least amount of hurdles possible at the beginning, which I think is the key factor that we all need to find out. How many hurdles can we take away, roadblocks can we get rid of right from the get-go so we can make this a possible thing?
Oh, yeah. I like that. The roadblocks, 'cause you're right. It's
Roadblocks, that's a
those.
thing.
Yeah, it's just like that's it. Yeah, I think that's fantastic. Because in terms of just going back to, I love your idea about just, hey, you can start exercising just now. You don't need any special equipment. You don't need to do anything special. But I know I've had a number of people contact me themselves when they're going through depression, like bipolar depression, and they just don't know how to motivate themselves to even like move to get outside. I mean, how do you, what would be your suggestion to kind of cope with that?
That is like, there are areas where I don't want to tell someone because I know what it's like. I'm not bipolar, but I have been in places where even I didn't go work out because I was like, there is no bloody way I'm sitting on my bed. I am going to stare at the wall for the next hour and a half because that is all I want, and I'm okay with that. Now, I wasn't okay with it to start off, but I came to learn that even though I wanted to do something at some point, no matter what, things were really bad, they just might not happen. And what I came to learn was, you know what? Those days are going to happen. Like, you're going to have such a shitty day that no, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to call in sick. I'm not going to do anything. And you know what? Allow it. Let it happen. Call that day a wash. Let it go right from the get-go. Wipe your hands clean. If it's 10 a.m., it's 10 a.m. and you're done. You're done. You're allowed to do that. However, though, that night you go to bed thinking, you know what? I didn't do anything today, but tomorrow I'm going to make it to 11 a.m. before I call it quits. Or tomorrow I'm going to wake up and go for a 30-minute walk just to get that out of the way in case something does happen. I think you have to go and look ahead and think, why did this occur? Is there a way I can kind of do something tomorrow before maybe that time happens? Or is there something I can add in? And you know what? Once again, take away the roadblocks. Because if it is something that's constantly occurring, well, you have to think of right when I wake up in the morning, do I have it? No. But do you sit on your phone for 45 minutes? Yes. Well, if you're not on your phone, can you then go instead right away, go and exercise instead of sitting on your phone? Is there something positive you can do with that time where you feel okay? And then you grow from that. It's all about these small steps and then slowly growing, not taking like a next leap the next day, going to go hit the gym. That doesn't make sense from one ring of the ladder to the next. So yeah, I say to people, if days are a wash, call it a wash. Forget it. Don't feel bad. You're allowed to have bad days. How many more days do we have in your life? There's, 365 days in a year. You can be alive for another 40 years. Like you have a lot, gonna have a lot of bad days. It's cool. But when you have a good day, make the most of it so your bad days don't feel as bad.
I really like that, Paul, because that's one of the things. I know I've talking with people, in the community, the mental health community, and just people with depression and bipolar, is not judging how you're feeling. Because I used to be so bad at this, where I'd be laying in bed and I'd have no energy, and I'd be telling myself, "Well, I need to get up and work out. I know it's going to make me feel better." I kind of list the things in my head. Oh, but then, and then it makes me more anxious because I don't have the energy to go. So then I'm like, okay, I finally realized, okay, I'm not going to judge my feelings. If that, if it is, so if it's that bad, then I'll just take the time, like you said. Just that's just what that's the way it's going to be. Like if it's going to be the day, then that'll be fine. But if it's going to be a few hours that I just have to crash here and do that, then I'll get up and, walk down the street and walk back, or just do something small like that. So definitely like your thoughts on that.
Awesome. Yeah, that's exactly it.
And then kind of building off exactly what we were talking about, creating a routine, can you kind of talk more about that?
Yeah, like so with the working out, the routine thing for me, how I really came to move ahead and move forward was I made the first, since I opened my eyes in the morning when that alarm went off or didn't go off when I wasn't using it, I started a routine right there. Because that way I could tangibly see and feel how I'm feeling for the next 30 minutes to 45 minutes, because I was going to be following the same steps I'd followed or tried to follow for the last 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 days. And I could see what was happening. So what I did was I found a routine where I'd wake up right away. First thing I did was I didn't look at my phone, sorry. Turn my phone alarm off, didn't look at my phone. I would shower, drink a hot lemon water. I would read about 10 minutes of a novel. I would meditate for starting off like 2 minutes, and then a month and a half later, 5 to 10 minutes. And over time, over that time, those things grew from like doing it for 30 seconds to doing to 5, 10, 15 minutes. And that became like a 45, 60-minute routine I had. Now, when I wasn't feeling good, I might make it just to the hot lemon water and be like, no, this isn't it today. I'm going back to bed. That is fine. My routine made it to like step three that day. However, though, that night I'd be like, okay, let's see if I can get past that step three and go to step four. Make it one better, do one thing better that day. And that helped me because I could gauge what it was like from one day to the next. And then I could go look back at my journal and think, like, writing my journal 3 weeks ago, I only made it a step five a couple times a week. And then there I am 4 weeks later, and I've made it through 60 minutes of my routine. I went to work out after, and I ate food, and I didn't feel bad until 2 o'clock. Like I could see the change. And
So
that
cool.
allowed me to, you know, start my day off with a purpose, a vision, and allow my brain to wake up and kind of like, okay, let's take on the day now.
Okay. Do you, you said your journal, do you keep kind of a running tab of the things you do throughout the day? Like, do you keep track of your food and your intake and your water intake and all that? Or what do you do exactly?
I don't. As I said, like, I'm an ex-athlete, a personal trainer for 10 years. I played college ball, baseball, and basketball in Louisiana. I've got a whole sporting background.
Well, amazing.
so much so that, like, I can naturally just kind of go off at myself. Like, in my head, I know what I'm eating well. I know when I'm doing it right and how much I drink a lot of water naturally. So, I'm not the best person for that because it just kind of comes secondhand to me.
Okay.
I do journal in the morning and I still do it. That is one of the things I've kept, and this is like 2 years later. And what I journal about is how my prior day went, how I felt in the evening, and kind of how I felt in the morning. And I will notice, you know, if I had a couple drinks last night, my sleep was bad, and I'll write that down in my journal. And it just kind of reiterates those things which are positive and negative for me. For someone, if we're talking fitness wise, yeah, definitely. I think you should write something down, maybe have a checklist. You know, drink 1 liter of water for the first 2 weeks and then try to do 1.5 the next weeks. And checklists are great, especially for, I think, people with mental health struggles are kind of, they find themselves in highs and lows. Because a checklist allows you to see how many things you've gotten off it. And sometimes just seeing that you've got a win in the day, and a win might mean like you checked off 5 of 7 things by 1 p.m., that might bump that low into a high. Like, I did something today already. It's only 1 o'clock. I feel good again. That makes me happy. Let's see if I can finish off these next 2 things. And they might be fitness. They might be something else. But yeah, checklists, especially for fitness, exercising, and this general well-being, I think they're very positive things.
Okay. Right on. Thanks. So in the evening, then, part of your evening routine is doing the journaling, from the day before, you said?
Yeah. So I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't evening journaled in a while, but actually I wrote in my morning journal that I have to start evening journaling because I've been on a highs and lows. I've been very productive, but just living at home still has been kind of crushing my soul in the summertime.
No, I understand.
COVID, so, yeah.
Yeah.
In general, like, when I'm doing both morning and evening, my evening will definitely be what happened in the day and kind of what I want to achieve tomorrow. And that might be mental health-wise. That might be fitness-wise. That might be work-wise. For me, like, my eating, my fitness, my business – all go hand in hand. Those are my 3 pillars. And if all of them are running strong, I know my mental health will be running strong. If one falls off, then I'm like, I can feel shaky. And I'm like, then I'll have to focus on it. And why write it down for focusing? It just, you know, it reiterates it. It gets it out of your head into something you can see and kind of makes you double down on it. If you just think about it, then it's like, I didn't write it down. I didn't commit to it by speaking it or writing it. Maybe it's not true. So yeah, I write those down then. And then morning I might like think more to the future, more to the past, kind of be more whimsical and think how things are going for the last 6 months and something like that. But it was hard at first writing a journal, to be honest with you. Like, what do I write?
Yeah.
It's super hard at first. Like, don't get me wrong. It took me, shoot. It was probably 10 months of finally actually getting comfortable. Really, like it takes a long time. I definitely would write for like 2 days and then not write for 2 weeks and then start up again and write for 4 days and not write for a week. Like, it was like that. But now I write every morning now religiously, and it's been, I don't know, 8 months every day, 8 months, and it's no problem.
Very cool. Right on. That's, yeah, because I, like, for me, I've never really have done a journal, but I guess I have, because it's, I'm always a proponent of people that have bipolar disorder or any mental illness really, I think, would benefit is a mood journal. And then in that journal, I mean, it sounds like some of the things that you would write in your journal, I used to write in my mood journal, and that mine would be more specific so I could pinpoint like a trigger or something that would make me feel a certain way or how I would eat, if that would make my mood, you know, go some way or this way or that way or whatnot. So I think it's definitely, it sounds pretty similar having a journal like that.
100%. During the start of COVID, I was drinking. I'm not like alcoholic, but before COVID, I wouldn't have, I would never have like midweek drinks. I would never have like a couple night drinks a night. I just wouldn't. It just wouldn't be my thing. I rarely had weekend drinks. COVID hit. You can't go out and do anything. It's weird. I'm stuck home with mom. 5 o'clock. Yes. I've been working hard. Can't go to coffee shop. Can't do anything. I'm like, get me a drink. And I started having drinks like, you know, 6 days a week. Only one or two, but enough. And after a while, I'd be like writing, okay, I had another two drinks last night. Felt weird, but I had nothing else to do. So I drank, woke up this morning, not feeling the greatest. I can tell it definitely messed with my sleep. I need to stop doing this. So like, yeah, I write down energy things, things that I do, which I think are negative towards it. Things that I do might be positive, or just like, I had a great day yesterday. I was friggin' on point from 6 a.m. till 6 p.m. And I felt exhausted and I slept for 8 hours without waking up. That's a good thing. Let's make it happen again today.
Anyway, yeah. Okay. In terms of like gratitude each day, like I like to have a time for gratitude, and I've spoken with so many people, and actually there was a lady that was on my podcast last week or the week before, Anne Grady, and she's an international speaker and she does all these really cool things to help people. She's like a consultant and so forth. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to her about gratitude because, you know, I said, well, sometimes it's hard to even figure out, you know, gratitude if you're in a really low spot. I mean, I hate to say that because I consider myself an optimist. So, you know, if I'm at the point where I'm like, I'm not grateful for something, I must be in a really bad spot. So she told me, she said, you know, they've done studies and actually the actual act of going through your day and thinking of what you did, like, oh, I got up this morning, I ate breakfast, you know, I pet my dog, I had lunch, you know, just the actual act of going through what you did is the same result of gratitude, like finding what you're grateful for each day, if that makes sense. So instead of being like, oh, I'm grateful for my dog, cat, and my family, if you go through, it has the same positive impact effect on your mind that it does that way too. So that's why I bring that up, just because of the mood journal. That's how I used to really, you know, kind of have my gratitude. I'd be able to see throughout the day what's been happening, what's been going on, and what I'm grateful for. So it kind of all helped together. And I like your idea. I might actually start doing that again, the mood journal, because I did it for so long, for so many years, Paul, because, you know, my doctors are always trying to figure out, you know, when I get manic, what triggers it, what makes it better. And, you know, it's so complicated. But then once I kind of got the things figured out, then I was like, okay, so I haven't done it since then. But yeah, I like your idea about
doing
it.
You gotta work on it when things are good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I'm grateful for you for saying that, because I've tried gratitude. Like, I've tried to be like in the morning, okay, I'm thankful. I had one stretch, I think, where I did it for like 3 months and I was actually like, I enjoyed it, but it just hasn't been anything I've been able to add to either my evening or morning routine and stuck. It just, I haven't been able to mentally be like, do it all the time. But from what you're saying, it sounds like I am kind of, without knowing it, I am getting those same positive reflections inside me by saying these things like, I'm going over my checklist and being positive about what I did for the day, I am
Yeah.
doing a gratitude list. So that's I'm happy to hear that. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, even just like you said, that example you gave, like, oh, hey, I got up and I worked from 12 to 12, and then I had 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep. Like, there you are. You're like expressing gratitude just like in a indirect way, which is kind of cool. I think that's pretty awesome. So,
Yeah, I like that.
yeah,
I
man.
take that. Thank you.
Yeah. I did want to ask you, since we are talking about exercise too and so forth, what do you do for your routine?
I used to be super like set in and only one thing. This was before my mental health struggles with my dad. Like I was like, there's one way or the highway. And luckily, actually, ever since everything happened, it has allowed me or made me or just put me in a different mindset to try new things, which I think is super beneficial and amazing. So actually right now, due to the workout situation around here, where I live, we are opening up quite a bit, which is nice because we don't have a lot of cases. So gyms are opening up, and there's a CrossFit gym that my friend run. And I used
Oh,
to be
cool.
all against CrossFit, the whole idea. I would poo-poo it, and I'd be like, this is silly. It's all about just going to the gym and lifting heavy weight. So I've changed my mind on that. And yeah, so I've joined a CrossFit gym, great group of people. I've been doing it for 3 weeks straight now, 6 days a week.
Oh,
And that is
sweet.
my current fitness level. And I'm super happy to be back in because I was working out by myself in my backyard with a kettlebell during COVID's 3 months shutdown. And it just wasn't the same.
Yeah, that's well, I what made you change your mind about CrossFit?
Really, I can be honest with you. Ever since my dad and I like stopped working, and like that was my lowest of lows. Like I never thought I'd feel that way in my life. Ever since then, this whenever new things come up, I'm like, well, it can't be as bad with how I felt 2 years ago. So why
Oh,
not
okay.
try it?
Gotcha.
Really,
Oh, okay.
I'm open
Oh,
to new
okay.
things now because I used to think they'd be horrible and I would feel bad or something. I'm like, well,
Yeah.
no, why do they have to be? Let's give it a try, give it a go, and maybe it'll expand my horizons and it'll help me out. If it doesn't, then I can go back to something else. So yeah.
Yeah. Oh, very cool. I love that. That's awesome perspective because I've tried CrossFit before too, and I enjoyed it a lot. I just out here it's pretty expensive, so
Oh
I just
yeah,
kind of,
it's really expensive.
it, yeah, so I'm kind of like because I'm married and have I have a son with my wife, and then I have a daughter with a previous marriage, and so I have like all these other things that I'm like,
Yeah.
well, yeah, I'm not gonna be able to do CrossFit, but I do have my own little gym thing, like my just adjustable dumbbells, bench,
Okay.
pull-up bar and
Yeah.
stuff at home. So I do that, and but I like you, I want to get back to the gym. They're sort of opening up around here. I'm in Colorado
Okay.
and up northern Colorado, and they're slowly opening places back up. And I know some of the gyms are opening up, but a lot of them have you have to they do re reservations and so forth. So you know there's only like 10 allowed, so you only can be
Yeah.
there for like an hour or something. But yeah,
No, I
so
want to say one thing about exercise, for the people listening. Now, I don't know what anyone's income is and everything like that. I don't want to tell people to do with their money. However, though, I will 100% and always say that a gym membership or anything fitness-wise is an investment in yourself. If you are willing to put money into a car, a house, or something else that you don't essentially need, but you like the looks of it and you go bigger and better and you're going to put that extra payment of $60 a month into something or pay for gas. And you can't put $100 or $150 a month into your own body and brain, then I think that's normal. which is a bad thing. Society has allowed that to become normal, but I would love to see that change. I would love to see people put money, invest into themselves through therapy and gym. I think those are two big proponents where if you had to choose, I hope you would choose that then over 3 nights out of dinner a week. Let's go with
Man, I
that.
love how you put that. Paul, I love how you put that. Because I people when I used to work out at the or train at the gym and so forth, and people always told me, oh, it's this is just kind of a luxury for me. That's why I have to cancel. And I'm like, man, you're so young now, but you're gonna be kicking yourself when you start the but no, it's one of the best investments you can make is in yourself. In yourself, with your mind, your body, you can't go wrong. And it's like you said, it's, if you're going out 3 or 4 nights a week to eat dinner, I mean, one of those dinners can pay for your membership for the month, for your for the gym membership. So it's like, don't go out one night and just eat at home. So
No.
yeah, so
It's
right
one
on.
that's one of the
Well,
things that really kills me. And I'm
yeah.
willing to speak up and make people angry at me just for that in case they hear it, and maybe down the road they'll change your ways, but heck, what can
Yeah.
you do?
Yeah. No, I think it's, I don't think it's, I mean, people need to hear these things about exercise because I think, especially with mental illness in general, whether it's anxiety, depression, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, I think we all have a tendency to, the normal daily activities that people take for granted when they're not sick, they kind of fall by the wayside more. So people, eating habits go down the tubes, people stop taking care of themselves, they don't exercise. And that's why with me personally, with my advocacy on the internet, on my blog, wherever it may be, is focusing on those daily, those building blocks to just live each day. And when you get those optimized and working efficiently, your body and mind will start to feel that way as well, because I just think that it, for me, treatment is not just a cookie cutter thing where, okay, give this person some meds and they're better. For me, I take meds on a daily basis, but I do all these other things as well. And so it's not as simple as, like, if you have a headache, oh, we'll pop a Excedrin or a Tylenol. This, it's like, okay, I'm going to take my meds each day and then I'm going to follow my routine, like what we talked about earlier, creating that morning routine and then an evening routine. And just, I think that focusing on those basics are so important because I had somebody ask me once, like, well, everybody knows to do that. Well, it doesn't necessarily mean they're gonna do it. So, and so, yeah, that's, yeah, I get pretty passionate about that too. So
I like it.
I'll
No,
kind
that all
of,
made sense.
yeah, man. So I don't know, Paul, is there anything else? Like, could you tell me kind of what you see yourself doing for the future now? Like, where you, I mean, I know what you've done up to this point, you just kind of want to grow from there, or like, what do you?
100%. Up until this point, especially my story has been my story. I've just been a proponent of telling things how I've done them and how I've gotten to where I am. And never alone has been me. I'm learning, first of all, I'm learning because this is actually a small business I'm starting. It's not just I'm not just here just trying to talk for the sake of talking. Like, I want to make a living off this. I believe there is an avenue for this. And I believe I can help a lot of people. I've helped a lot of people already, which has been amazing. I didn't mean to. And I've had a lot of people reach out to me, and people have gone to therapy because of me, which I think is absolutely awesome.
Very awesome.
People in their 30 and 40s have reached out to me and said, hey man, I went to my first therapy session. Thank you so much for what you're doing. Like, I never expected that. So, never alone. I'm growing it to be not about me anymore. Like I will be happy to be the face and talk about it, but really it's having other people share their own Never Alone stories. I want 100,000 people to share their own Never Alone story over the next 10 years. And by doing that is I have people, if they're willing to write a blog on on the website and tell their story about something they went through and how they found their way to overcome it, or at least are trying to at the moment, through my own Mental Health Mondays, where I go on Zoom calls and talk to people just like this and just have general conversations. I'd love to have you on.
Oh,
And
yeah.
just, yeah, that'd be amazing. And then also just figuring it out. I'm still learning. I'm still trying to figure things out. I'm running everything by myself. But
Wow.
yeah.
That's
So
overwhelming.
yeah, it really is. But that's where I want Never Alone to grow. And the clothing sales, which at the moment I have a hoodies, a black, orange, and maroon. I've created them myself. They're not drop shipping, they're actually manufactured. I went to a tailor and seamstress and we made them to spec.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, so I'm really stoked on them and how comfy they are and the size and the style. That and the hats are online, my website, where you can buy them, and the money then essentially goes right back into creating more content, creating blogs, getting stuff out there just to help people learn more, see more, and just be able to find it on social media, which I think is a massive place to be, for us to use and to help others, because everyone's looking for stuff. They're looking around. And even if it isn't mental health, if it's just, personal growth, or if it's just fitness tips, or it's just you want to reach out and say hi because you're feeling good, that's cool too. But as much stuff that I can put out there to help others for free, then I'm happy.
Very cool. Well,
Yeah.
can you tell everybody your different social media links or the best way
Yeah.
to get in touch with you?
Definitely. Best way to get in touch with me. Twitter and Instagram are definitely top two social media platforms. And mine are at Tall Paul's Life for both of them. At Tall Paul's Life. And then also my website is www.weareneveralone.com. Dot co, and you can find my origin story video there. It's a 2-minute video of how I got to where I am now and where I'm going to take it. And also, if you guys like, you can buy some product, share your own Never Alone story while you're wearing it, and I'll share it through my social media platforms, and it will help just grow the community initiative. I'd really appreciate it.
Right on. Right on. Yeah, definitely, Paul. It was a pleasure chatting with you, man. Okay.
Appreciate it. Bye.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
If you found this podcast episode helpful in any way, please consider pledging financial support to me and my mission of empowering those of us living with bipolar disorder. Your pledge allows me the ability to record these episodes and provide them to you. Thank you for your consideration.